Hello and welcome to the Paul Garcia Show, where I, your host, Paul Garcia, speak with the interesting and inspiring people of Central Illinois. Today I'm speaking with Joe Sieving of Fairbury, Illinois. Joe is known by thousands as a former PE teacher and or track coach at Westview Elementary School and Prairie Central High School. Many of you listening to this may only know him as a teacher or a coach, but the story of Joe Sieving's life is incredible and goes far beyond just teaching. The things that he's experienced will likely shock you and give you a new respect for one of the most seemingly relaxed individuals that you'll ever come across. This conversation was seriously cool, which is why it lasted an entire 2 hours, and I was captivated throughout. Don't worry though, I trimmed this thing down to about 45 minutes, so you're just getting the absolute best parts. As always, I'd like to say thanks to this show's sponsors who make telling these awesome stories about local individuals possible. This week's sponsors are firstly, Zach Meister, the Ag Loan Officer at Iroquois Farmers State Bank. Secondly, the beloved Fairbury Furniture. Thirdly, the Jiu-Jitsu Academy PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu. And lastly, the highly acclaimed wrestling training center, The Compound. Farmers, no matter what crop you raise, at Iroquois Farmers State Bank, they understand that what you are really trying to do is grow your future. Being family-owned and operated for over 100 years, IFSB prides itself on exceptional customer service in separating itself from the mega bank mentality of banking. If your current ag lender is dictating the terms, then it's time to give Iroquois Farmers State Bank a call, where they work with you like family. If you are looking at getting an operating line or farmland loan, Iroquois Farmers State Bank is here to help you. Zachary Meister is their current ag lender who grew up in the farming community of Fairbury, Illinois. He understands the operational as well as financial aspects of farming and that it's a legacy industry. When the farm operation is passed down to a relative, most lenders are hesitant to take the risk. But at Iroquois Farmers State Bank, they love helping new and legacy farmers achieve success. For all your agriculture loan needs, give IFSB, that's Iroquois Farmers State Bank, a call. Call at 815-265-4707. Again, that's 815-265-4707. Iroquois Farmers State Bank. FDIC insured and equal housing lender. Now, if you're a farmer, or any human for that matter, then you probably appreciate high quality and affordable furniture. That's where Fairbury Furniture steps in. They carry tons of gorgeous name brand coffee tables and dining tables, recliners, beds, and really basically every kind of furniture you need. Their store is huge and their selection is vast. If you want your home's interior to actually look stylish and great, this is the place to go. All the furniture designs are with the times, and the staff is so willing to answer all of your questions and help you find whatever it is you're looking for. They've got loads of 5-star reviews because they're Central Illinois' premier furniture supplier. Everyone loves this place, and so will you. When you decide it's time to beautify your home, head to Fairbury Furniture in Fairbury, Illinois. Thirdly, jiu-jitsu is a growing sport in the United States and worldwide. It teaches a level of discipline, mental toughness, physical toughness, combative and defensive technique, the likes of which are becoming less and less common. Learn submissions, learn takedowns, learn what to do if a fight hits the ground, get into probably the best shape of your life, and get into PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu in Normal, Illinois. You can be any kind of human being to enroll here. All ages, all genders, all shapes, and all sizes, and all walks of life are welcome. It's as inviting and educational as it is exhausting and exciting. Jiu-Jitsu is incredible, and it's about time you learn how to do it. Shoot them a message on Facebook saying, "I'd like to learn more," and you'll take it from there. PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu. Lastly, this show has a strong following of current and former wrestlers, so I extend to you this question. Do you have a son or daughter who is looking to excel in the sport of wrestling? I mean, who really wants to be a state champion, a national champion, and go on to have a successful college wrestling career? If so, then The Compound is the place you need to go to. The Compound has helped create an insane number of state and national champions at all levels of the sport, and it will do the same for your child. If you're interested in getting your kid enrolled at this elite academy of wrestling, simply send them a message on their Facebook page at The Compound. You can't be average in the sport of wrestling, but if you want to excel to the top, come train at The Compound in Shinoah, Illinois. All right, there we have it. If you'd like to support this show, the best way is to support these incredible local businesses. As always, let them know that the Paul Garcia Show sent you. It makes them and me so happy when you say that. And now, without further ado, here's my conversation with the most interesting man in the world, Joe Sieving. Joe Sieving, thank you very much for coming on to the show.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So you are a PE teacher here at Westview Elementary School. You have been for a little while now, as well as you've also been the track coach at Prairie Central High School. That's kind of a surprising career path that you've chosen, given your academic track record. To my knowledge, you seem to have excelled in school since, you know, you were a kid.
Yeah, I had a very unusual grade school experience, for sure. I was tested for academic, you know, abilities and stuff, and just to see where they should put me in different tracking programs and stuff for reading program and math. And so, and what they had found out is when I was in second grade, I was reading at a college level and was doing math close to a college level. And so they weren't sure really what to do with me. My older brother was also scoring very high, but they kind of kept him in his grade or a year ahead. But then they didn't want to bump me up ahead of my brother, who was 3 years older than me. So what they did is they looked into different things for the government and different programs, what they could do around the school. And I don't know all the details and stuff, but there was a program during the Carter administration where they were looking for accelerated students and had accelerated programs.
By most people's standards, were you kind of a gifted kid as far as math and science and reading?
I mean, that's in the 80s, you were, you know, allowed to say tracking, and you were allowed to say gifted, and you were allowed to say, you know, all the PC things you're not allowed to say anymore. But but yeah, I was in a gifted track program, and my mom knew I was always pretty, you know, she said I could read when I was one.
My goodness.
But my brothers were also very smart too. I mean, they were all straight A students, and they were always technically years ahead of where they were supposed to be too. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. She worked with us a lot, so she was always reading to us and reading with us and working with, you know, math and science and things like that. So I think a lot of it is just, you know, nurture and stuff, and environment and stuff. But
how much of it do you think was just a byproduct of nurture, as you said, of good parenting, of maybe even natural discipline and what have you? And then how much of it do you think was just pure talent or just gift?
I don't know. I would have to probably credit most of it to nurturing, because I think you can nurture kids into abilities that they don't even realize they have, and the limits that people have or they think they have actually are not what they really are. You can actually draw people's abilities out. So, but at the same time, like my dad and his brothers, they were all, you know, genius level too. So I don't know how much is nature, how much is nurture. It's kind of hard to say, but yeah, I would definitely credit the ability that my mom was able to stay home with me and work with me and things like that. So it was kind of, I guess I had an advantage there. We were poor as dirt, but I had my mom at home. So that was a huge advantage. So
what was it like going into the junior high time of your life? Were you an athlete, or were you a total nerd? You know, were you just reading books and nothing athletic?
I was an athlete. I kind of credit that a little bit to my brother. I kind of was motivated by his athletic skills, and he was quite the athlete through high school and was recruited by colleges and stuff too, to play football. And then my little brother, he was even more successful in sports. I mean, he was recruited by anybody and everybody. Every college wanted him.
For what? For football?
Football, basketball, and baseball. So I did mostly football and track, although I played a little bit of basketball, and I did diving. I was on the diving team.
Now, I won't ask too many questions about it, because I know it's actually kind of, you can almost say it's classified, that government-ran organization for gifted kids. How long were you enrolled in that, and what were they having you do?
I was in it for about 3 years, and there is a gag order on it, like you said, but I can't really go into a lot of detail. But it was during the Carter administration. It was run by the government, the federal government, and in correlation with the states and stuff. And But the government was looking for gifted kids, and most of the day, I would say I spent about 20 minutes to a half hour with my own grade level kids, and it was usually recess. And then the rest of the day, I would be with kids that were older than I was. So like when I was in second grade, I was, you know, with fifth graders, or when I was in third grade, I was with sixth graders.
What? And so did that do a number on your psychological development? Were you like,
At the time I thought it was really cool because, when I was in third grade, the sixth graders, you know, some of them thought, hey, that's really cool. There's a smart third grader coming up with us. There were some that weren't so happy for me. They're like jealous. And I was like, what's a third grader doing in our class? We don't need him here. But then there were some that just were generally accepted, you know, everything that was going on. So it was kind of a mixed bag, you know. But I never, you know, I never got picked on. I never got bullied or anything like that. But it was kind of, at the time, it was kind of a badge of honor. Everybody's like, oh, it's so cool. We got a little kid up here.
Have you always been interested in kind of athletics then, even from a young age? You had to be. Your brothers were star athletes.
Funny story. My grandparents had a farm, and I would always go out. I think I was always more interested in books than I was sports. And my grandmother, my mom credits her for saving me from just a total immersion into nerdhood. Uh-huh. Because she's like, you got to get that boy out. He just reads and reads and reads and reads and reads. And you got to get him active and social and doing all this other stuff. Otherwise, you're going to generate a total geek. So. Mm-hmm. And looking back, you know, I was like, yeah, I just read every book she had, every book my grandma had was interesting to me. She used to have a encyclopedia of Greek mythology that I read when I was like in first grade, you know. And so
it just so happens that the things that you were fascinated with happened to be the same things that if you knew a lot about, you would excel in school with.
Like, yeah, I made school pretty easily.
Yeah.
And pretty easy in grade school, especially. So.
So you're in junior high, you know, you're hanging out for most of the day with kids that are a few grades ahead of you. And, you know, it's not unbearable or anything.
Fourth grade, I mean, I barely remember my teacher because I'll bet I just spent a few hours with my fourth grade teacher for the entire year, because the rest of the time I was traveling or working with gifted high school kids or college kids, graduate students that would put me through tests and trials for their research studies and stuff to try to push me and test me and things like that. I was always going to colleges and getting psychiatrists and psychologists were throwing tests at me all the time.
You're kind of a guinea pig then.
I was.
How interesting. I don't know if that would fly today.
And the program eventually was dropped. I mean, when I was 10 years old, I was taking college classes. And then when President Reagan became president, there were some issues with the program. And then he ended the program. He ended the funding for the program, which to me at the time devastated me.
Really?
Just because I was like, I did all this work. You know, if I finished high school when I was 10, and now they're telling me I have to go back to fifth grade and start all over again. So
no kidding, really. That's about how it went then?
Yeah,
they
were
just
much,
like, sorry.
Yeah, and, I mean, my teachers, my fifth and sixth grade teachers that were my kind of my home base, I mean, even they were crying. They were just like, this is a tragedy, you know? It's like, and I was upset. Now, I think secretly my mom was not upset because she saw the pressure that I was going through, you know, as a 9 and 10 year old being pushed into college level courses and stuff. And I would get hives and she would, you know, she was like, you know, what are you guys doing? You're just pushing, pushing, pushing. That I think that's ultimately why they ended the program. There were too many kids that were just not hacking it and just causing physiological and psychological issues and stuff. So that I think that's why I think Reagan ended the program.
Well, so eventually you'll graduate from junior high and go into high school. And this had to be an interesting time for you, I would imagine. What's high school like for you?
So what they did was they ended the program. So I had to go. I still had to go back through high school and get all my credits again. That was kind of frustrating too. I was like, well, yeah, I guess. But at the same time, it was kind of nice because I could focus on my athletic career, because when high school wasn't much of a mental challenge because I'd already done it. I'd taken all the classes, you know, and I was teaching pre-cal stuff and to my classmates. When it actually came through to high school, it wasn't that bad, you know. The first time I actually struggled in a class was a college level calculus class. And my freshman year in college, I'd clept in or I'd placed into a junior level calculus class as a freshman. And I did not do so well in it because just because I had not put the work in, the predetermined prerequisites, I guess, that you would need to put into something like that. And I didn't even know what half the symbols meant. So I literally had to study to even learn what the symbols meant in order to even apply them in the first place.
I have an interesting story about you, actually, in math. In high school, when you were the track coach my junior year, I was struggling in my math classes. I am awful at math. I was struggling in those classes, and you told me just, hey, stay after practice today, and I'll kind of work with you a little bit. And I'm like, what's he talking about? I mean, he's a track coach. He's not even a math teacher. He's a PE teacher. What's he going to do? And, well, anyways, I had been seeing, like, tutors and staying after class with my math teachers, and I just could not comprehend what they were trying to teach me and what was being taught. I was having a really rough time with it. And after practice, you opened my book, looked at my homework, and you explained to me what they could not, and you did it in like 10 to 15 minutes. What in the world? They say that the task of genius is to make simple the complex, and you really did just that. And I was just like, can you be my teacher or something? not a knock on the high school math teachers. I just wasn't understanding what they were saying. So would you say that math is kind of your specialty or not even?
Well, at the time I thought it was. I mean, when I went to college, my dad's an engineer. So I didn't know what to do with my life. You know, I was bouncing around all over the place academically and didn't want to narrow anything down. I guess, I don't know. I loved being a permanent student because I was kind of a balance between athletics and academics. You know, I was a very good football player. I was recruited as a running back, wide receiver, and I think I was known as the quickest kid on the team for sure. And then for track, you know, I was like all conference track. But after my first track meet, my senior year, I had I don't know what you call it, like a physiological phenomenon. And I just, about a week after my first track meet, I just doubled over in intense pain. And we couldn't shake it. My parents took me to the hospital. The doctors couldn't figure out what was gone. They did an emergency exploratory surgery to try to, they thought I was dying. They just, surgery was kind of a wash. I mean, they took my appendix out. They thought, well, maybe that was it. But, you know, they had unloaded my intestines on the table to try to figure out, you know, what was going on. Long story short, I missed the next 9 weeks of school because I was in the hospital. But it was kind of a struggle. My senior year, my last semester in high school was kind of miserable.
Yeah. So, did those scholarships then go away entirely?
Not entirely. I did still get offers. I would get partial offers. I still wanted to go to U of I, just the prestige of the school. At the time I was going to do aerospace engineering, aeronautical engineering. So I went in.
Really quick, what is aerospace engineering and aeronautic engineering?
So it could be aerospace, aeronautics. So you work with airplanes, helicopters, spaceships, types of stuff. You know, a lot of the pre-robotic, pre-computer age, a lot of the carbon fiber technologies, things that are so common today. But but it was still, you know, at the time U of I was one of the top engineering schools in the world. So
did you end up doing athletics there at all?
I ran track till an injury.
Do you stay with aerospace and aeronautic engineering, or how does your college focus kind of evolve?
Well, I got caught up in the college life, but just being stupid. Don't want to go into any details or anything, but I also my college life was more fun than my academics. Now all of a sudden, usually I was always had so much fun with academics, but now I was just a number. I was in an engineering program, one of the top engineering programs in the country or the world, and I just felt like a number. I felt like a computer. I felt like I was locked in a room processing numbers, and I was just a zombie. I was just not enjoying it anymore. I went to go talk to my counselors. He was a former engineer who had switched to physiology. I talked to him for 5 minutes. He goes, I did the exact same thing. I know how you feel. He signed it in 5 minutes, and I was like, so then what I did was I switched over to a pre-med program. And then my, again, social stuff kind of creeped in. I was married my junior year in college.
Really?
So things just went too fast, and we were expecting a child my senior year.
Oh, my word.
So, yeah, a lot of things happened. And the plan was to go to Chicago, go to med school. I got the letter, said, you know, hey, welcome aboard, yada, yada, yada. And then shortly, I mean, weeks after, we had lost our first child. We had a tragic...
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we had a tragic occurrence where we ended up losing the child. But at the time, in between that time, I'd already talked to my wife, and we had decided that I was not going to go to med school. Simply because I think it would have been too much on her to be stay at home, no income with a child. I would be in medical school, no income, essentially. We had college debts, you know, out our ears at the time. And so we're just like, well, we're going to hold off. We're going to hold off a year on med school. And then, so I declined the med school offers. And oh. Yeah. I know it's, but I was like,
right.
I was like, I shouldn't have said okay. I know. But at the time, it felt like the thing we had to do. We had a baby, you know,
sounds like the right thing to do.
We still, you know, we set it off a year, no big deal, you know, I can catch up and whatever. But then we ended up losing the baby. The baby only lived for less than a day, actually. They had a heart issue or
something. Oh, good Lord. I didn't know it was... Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. I would have been more sensitive asking about this if I would have known that.
No.
I apologize.
It's fine. But the situation kind of unfolded. It's like, oh, gee, I'd already turned down med school, and now I'm graduating from college, mm-hmm. knowing that I'd already passed the MCAT and turned it down. So I went to my new advisor. Well, you know, what do I do? And she said, well, you still kind of have to take the year off of med school. But in the meantime, have you thought about this? So I did what I started doing was I started following her lead, her guide, and I started doing clinical research and stuff at schools. I started visiting schools and doing clinicals and this and that and enjoyed it so much. I started interacting with the kids. And then she's like, hey, have you ever, you know, teachers are saying this and this. And I said, have you ever thought about being a teacher? I was like, well, I don't, you know, never thought about it.
Were you having fun then working with kids?
I was. I was having a blast. I was having so much fun working with kids. And so they're like, you know, hey, try it out. And so I was like, okay, so my senior year, last semester, I switched everything over to student teaching and get all my teaching certification. I'd already had credits enough for history and science, like biology stuff, physiology. And all I had to do was just get my teacher certification. I was like, yeah, I got this last semester going through, you know, tragic loss and all this and that, and trying to help my wife through a lot of stuff, and she was trying to help me through a lot of stuff, and I ended up student teaching. You know, I give her credit for sticking through that, because when you're student teaching, you don't get an income either. Mm-hmm. So she was kind of holding down the household while I could student teach, and finally I, you know, ended up loving the teaching so much that I was like, you know, maybe I can put med school off a little longer. And it was more than one factor. I mean, like when I was in high school, my orthodontist was talking about, you know, the changes in the medical program, the AMA, the Medical Association. He goes, if you're ever have a doubt of doing medicine, he goes, I would recommend not doing it. And then my GP said the same thing, 55 years old, and they were still paying college debt. You know, even with the money you can make as a doctor, you know, you take on an extra $250,000 of medical debt. Mm-hmm. So I guess it kind of went down. My wife and I talked quite a bit, and she wanted me to be a doctor, but she didn't want me to be gone from med school for so many years without her type mm-hmm. of thing, or kind of, you know, even if not physically absent, just, you know, mentally absent, because
med school seems to be the most draining thing.
It seems to be pretty tough, you know. And you know, my son is he's going through med school program right now, and it's not the easiest thing to get into. It's not the easiest thing to survive. Even there's a high dropout rate. You know, a lot of his classmates are struggling and stuff. So
anyways, you chose to go down the teaching path. Did you know you're going to teach PE like you do now, or?
Well, I did my student teaching in PE and history and social studies and civics, actually. So I did a little bit of student teaching in different areas. I enjoyed PE the most. So then when I applied for a job, I applied for the PE position.
Wow. Just because what? You enjoy it?
I was like, hey, this is so low stress. This is so cool. I get to play games. I get to teach kids. I get to interact. And I don't have the... the massive headaches of, you know, medical research and even the aerospace engineering research. I wasn't a computer. I wasn't crunching numbers, and I wasn't crunching data, and I wasn't trying to solve things. I was just having a blast. I was having fun, you know, exercising, running, playing, creating games.
You were so good at that. You were my PE teacher growing up, and the games you would come up with, like that Grinch game, was awesome. I'm not alone in that opinion either. It seemed like things were actually going pretty well, and you ended up having two great sons, Skylar and Luke. And was life going relatively well at that point?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, we had our struggles. We'd lost three children, and then Skylar was our second. Our third son was born. He lived less than 6 weeks. He had a heart condition. He made it through surgery, and he ultimately died from what's called capillary leak syndrome.
Okay.
And
it's kind of self-explanatory in a way.
Yeah,
I completely was wrong when I said life was going well. God darn it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, everybody's got their ups and downs, and you know, I don't want to we were in a tough spot. We had Skylar. He was the best baby ever. We had Skylar, and then we had our fourth child coming too. Soon after Baron had died, we had another baby coming, and his name was Jamie. So he had actually died right before delivery. So it was just odd, you know, just a total talk about getting hit upside the head again. But
your mind had to be all over the place.
Yeah, I was tired of burying kids. You know, I was tired of carrying their coffins.
Gosh.
It was rough. But then soon after that,
we had one of my best friends. Yeah, Luke.
Luke. So, yeah, Luke's our youngest, and he's the one that's in med school and stuff.
So, chapter two, you have your two sons, and you're growing up. And this is a big part of the podcast that I want to talk about. I know Luke was young. Skylar was maybe in junior high or so. It was storming one night, and I can remember this day because of the news that came the next day.
Yeah.
And I'll let you tell the story, but you were victim to a lightning strike.
I was, sort of. It started to rain. There was a bunch of toys and stuff in the yard. So I was just like, okay, I'll run out in the rain, get a bunch of stuff out of the yard, clean it up, put it in the garage. So I got all the toys put away in the garage, and I was on my back porch, and it's about 40 feet from my garage to my back porch. I got up the back porch. I grabbed the gate with both hands and pulled it shut as I was on top of the porch. So the gate was, it's an elevated porch. Grabbed the gate, pulled it shut, and lightning hit right in front of me. And I got thrown from the sonic concussion. I got thrown back about 15 feet, and I was blinded, and I was deaf, and I was laying face up on the porch in the rain. If my out-of-body experience was as long as real time, I think I was unconscious for about 2 minutes. So,
wait a minute. okay, that's insane. Did you just said out-of-body experience? I don't know if that was just like a kind of a figure of speech, or do you remember something from that?
I guess an in-body experience, I guess, would be more accurate, because I was laying there. All I saw was light. I saw this white tunnel.
This light tunnel?
Light tunnel. Just a long light tunnel. Long lit tunnel. No sound. No feel. No touch other than just this light at the end of this tunnel.
Okay, so it's like classic dark?
Yeah, the classic one you hear about all the time, you know. And I was looking back at it, I was like, okay, I was flat on my back and there was rain hitting my face. Mm-hmm. So it was like I was traveling down the tunnel. I was like, well, maybe the rain was contributing to me having that sense of moving forward. Mm-hmm. You know, down this tunnel or whatever. But during that 2 minutes, I was like, I can't move. What's going on? All I see is this tunnel. All I see is like, I was aware.
Oh, so you were kind of still sensing, like sense-wise, you were feeling?
Only in my head. Oh. Because I couldn't feel my feet. I couldn't feel any physical semblance of myself. I couldn't feel my hands. I couldn't, you know, all I could feel was that it just felt like I was moving. I had no body. I was just moving down this tunnel. Whoa. And yeah, I know it's kind of creepy thinking back at it. And then I remember thinking while I was in this, just I was laid out facing the sky. While I was in this position, I was thinking to myself, am I dead? And I kept thinking, I am dead. And I kept thinking, wait a minute, I still have to do this. I still have to do this. What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to my wife, my kids? And I was like sorting through all of this, staring at this lighted tunnel. And then after the tunnel time in real time is accurate, it was about 2 minutes. And I wake up after about 2 minutes and I realize I'm in the rain. So I'm getting hit with this dark rain.
How do you transition from tunnel vision, literally, not the figure of speech tunnel vision, but
right.
You were looking at the tunnel. Did it fade away?
Yeah, the white just kind of faded away. And
you saw a gray sky?
No, I saw black. I saw darkness because I had lost my eyesight.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So it was dark, but I knew the rain was hitting my face. And then I was like, oh, great. Maybe I am dead, you know, because I'm aware. I just still don't feel anything. So I was like, there's no pain. There's no nothing. And then after about another minute and a half, I was in the worst pain of my entire life. From my elbows to my fingertips on both sides, and from my knees to my toes on both sides, I felt like I was in lava. It was just the most intense pain you can imagine. And then I thought, oh, great. I am dead. Now I'm in hell.
Oh, my word. That thought
actually went through my head.
How horrifying that must have been.
I know. And I was just, and I was sitting there, and another 30 seconds goes by, and I start to realize, hey, I'm stuck out here in the rain. The lightning's still striking. And my hands and feet hurt so bad that I didn't know what to do. And I couldn't really move them. So I kind of jerked and flipped over onto my belly, and I crawled on my elbows and knees.
At this point, you must know that you were still in your physical body.
Yes, that point, I'd figured out that, hey, I'm actually still here. Mm-hmm. I was kind of happy, and I was split. You know,
yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
I was like, hey, I had a chance to leave, and I didn't take it. And now I'm here. I have a chance to make more of my life and stuff. So,
but you're still in agony.
Yeah. Still in agony. So I'm blind and I'm deaf. Okay. So can't see, can't hear, but I can feel what's going on. And I'm crawling on my knees and my elbows. I get to the back door and I start beating my elbow on the back door. And my wife, who's wondering where I've been the last 5 minutes or whatever, comes to the door, and she helps drag me into the kitchen. I'm on my back, and she's trying to figure out what's happened. And she got me on my back in the kitchen, and I'm shaking like a, you know, I'm like shaking like
you're
a
seizing, basically,
seizing.
Right?
Yeah, I'm shaking like a poisoned cockroach. You know, on my back, my arms and legs are in the air.
Whoa!
And my foot is burned. The electrical exit point blew my shoe off, and so she called 911. She called paramedics. They came and she was trying. She didn't really know what had happened. You know, she was trying to explain it
thought you slipped and fell. And
right at this point, well, she knew something. My shoe was blown off my foot. You know, my hands were burned, and you know, the hair was singed and things like that. And it was right about the time the paramedics came, I started to come through and be able to. My hearing started to come back. It was like I was underwater. My vision started to come back, and my hands and feet were just on fire and in pain and stuff. And I was shaking like crazy. My heart, when the paramedics came, my heart was going like 230 or something, 240, something crazy. But they gave me this. They gave me a shot in my heart, gave me medication, got my heart rate down. They got me in the ambulance, took me to the hospital, and they, you know, it got better hour by hour. And then, but it took about 8 to 10 weeks of therapy and rehab, and my wife doing everything for me because my hands, I had to relearn how to use my hands again. I had to relearn how to.
You're probably so fragile, I would imagine, right?
Yeah. Like even for the first 3 or 4 weeks, they would just put a rubber band around my thumb and forefinger, and I would just do these exercises just to learn how to use my fingers again. You know, for weeks I was doing these rubber band drills and these rubber band drills. And
I could almost call this then chapter 3, the final chapter, your health. it really never fully came back after the lightning strike.
Right.
However, you were still able to function, you know, live a relatively normal life and go to work and still teach PE. But
I just wasn't the same. I wasn't feeling well. I was never felt healthy. I quit playing basketball. I quit running. I quit playing racquetball. I quit doing the things that I used to do. I loved before the lightning strike.
That, and is that still the case? You still don't do those things?
Oh no, I'm running now. I went running this morning.
Oh, awesome. Well, I think that will tie in very well with this next topic. And I don't know how exactly it started or why, but you now are on a strict plant-only diet. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And why? Why did you get on this diet in the first place? Most people don't do it because it's enjoyable. You must have had some startling numbers or something at the doctor's office.
I did. About 5 years ago, I was having trouble with the spasms. As they did a scan of my brain, it looked as though I'd maybe had an aneurysm in my brain. And I was having twitching and issues, muscular issues. They thought I had fibromyalgia. They thought I had Lyme's disease, a stiff man syndrome. They thought I had Lou Gehrig's. They thought I had all these different situations I was presenting these symptoms for. So I just never felt good. I was sick all the time, couldn't sleep, and lack of sleep made it worse. Everything that was, I was having trouble with the muscular stuff. So then one day about 3 years ago, talking to my wife, I just blacked out and fell to the floor. And so she rushed me to the hospital, and they had said I'd had a stroke. They said I'd had a brain incident. But yeah, it was a time where I had to learn how to use my one side of my body again. And you know, over the course of 4 months, I would say I eventually got 99% of all my function back. So I just keep working on.
You're no stranger to adversity. Sheesh.
Had a few incidences.
Yeah. Well, okay. So the plants. Where did this diet come from then?
Well, let me go back again. So that was 3 years ago, was the mini stroke. And then 2 years ago, I had had a heart episode. My numbers were just off the charts. My triglycerides were close to 1,000. LDL was 240-something. My cholesterol levels were, you know, 400 range type of stuff.
So your heart health is not looking good.
Not looking good. But then my wife started to get really sick at this exact same time. It was to the point where she was bedridden for 4 months.
Sheesh.
And she went into this chronic fatigue where she just couldn't function. I mean, she's not in a good place.
Sure.
Physically, mentally. But she's a researcher. That's her job. She's a medical researcher. She's a medical coder. I don't know how she pulled it off because she was pretty miserable there. But she found a doctor online and started to kind of adhere to her recommendations.
So she was, what did this doctor tell her to do? Start eating?
So basically, this doctor, her name was Dr. Judy Mikovic. This is weird because it's before all this COVID stuff came to light. But she worked with Dr. Fauci back in the 80s with the microbiology, virology. She was one of the specialists that worked on the AIDS virus or HIV virus and stuff. But anyway, she basically recommended a plant-based whole foods diet situation.
What were you eating before? Like burgers and stuff like that?
I was 99% carnivore.
That transition into a plant-based diet had to be difficult then for you.
Yes, because I was getting put on heavy medications for heart and cholesterol control and, you know, things like that. I was changing my numbers like between 1 and 5%, you know, nothing was really helping much.
It seemed like there had to be a foundational change rather than a supplemental change.
Right, right. So it seemed like the medicines were keeping me alive, but there wasn't the foundational change that needed to take place. So I was like, my wife was feeling better. She was feeding me these foods. I didn't know what she was feeding me at the time. She started showing me what she was researching, what she was learning, and then I started learning along with her. And I just started following along with all her medical shows and her. And we ran down a sort of a rabbit's hole of plant-based medical doctors and stuff. And when we came out, we just had amazing results. So
you look like I remember you when I was a kid. Yeah. Your skin seems tighter. You look a lot younger. Whatever gut was there is gone.
Yeah.
And it's incredible for me to see.
Well, 12 months ago, I had a 70-pound extra gut. So just in the last year, I've dropped about 70 pounds on accident. I've not made any attempt to lose any weight, but the way the lifestyle is set up, it just kind of forces you to go to your ideal weight. They said, mm-hmm. you lose weight. When you get to a point where it's close to your ideal weight, your body won't lose anymore. You're not going to starve yourself to death, but at the same time, it stabilizes. And I'm kind of at that stabilized point where I'm almost at my college running weight now, and I'm wearing Luke's clothes.
Yeah, so. It's like good luck getting fat on plants too. It's
yeah,
like,
exactly.
So, I mean, how do you feel now compared to where you were? I don't know. At the worst, you know, how do you feel now?
Amazing. I'm in my 50s, and a year ago I felt like I said it openly. I said I feel like I'm in my 80s. I can't move. I can't get up and down the stairs.
You said a year ago?
Did
you say
a year ago? 1 year ago, I could barely. I had to pull myself up stair railings. And I was 70 pounds heavier. I had broken my hip about 15 years ago. And my hip, the arthritis in my hip was getting so bad that I couldn't push off of it to go up a stair. So I could only go up with one. I could only go up with my good leg and if I pulled on the banisters to get up.
And you went for a run this morning, isn't that
and
right?
I went for a run this morning, yeah. Oh, yeah. You would not believe the change. I mean, I feel from the time of my lightning strike until the time of my 50s, I just kept getting sicker, feeling worse and worse. I get less and less sleep. Felt like I was working more, getting less done type of stuff. And I was just like, man, by the time I was in my 50s, I felt like I was in my 80s. And then with this plant-based lifestyle, I literally feel like I'm in my 20s and 30s again. I mean, I exercise for fun now, not to lose weight. I was just like, hey, I feel like I'm going to do something. I feel like I'm going to go work on the house. I feel like I'm going to go mow the grass. I feel like I'm going to go run. I think it's just, hey,
gosh.
Luke, you know, it's like, hey, Luke, what are you doing? You're going to go lift? I was like, okay, yeah, I'll take a lift.
That's so cool. Man, so, you could be an excellent spokesperson for like vegans. And I hate to say vegans. I don't even think of you as vegan, although you technically are, right?
Yeah, technically. Because vegan has a bad connotation.
Oh,
everything's,
absolutely.
You know, there's some weird hippie and, you know. One thing that kind of helped me break that stereotype, there's a movie called The Game Changers, but there was a Tennessee Titan. He also went vegan, and then he kept getting stronger and faster and quicker, and he could think clearer as he was getting older.
Wow.
And last I heard, there was like a third or a half of the Titans now are vegan, and which you would not think. You know, these 300-pound athletes that rely on strength and speed and this and that, all the things we've been told about for the last 100 years about you have to have protein for muscle strength and you have to have animal protein for this and that and everything else.
The results speak for themselves, and it's really fascinating to witness. We're getting towards the end here, and through this conversation, I've learned that you've really experienced a lot. You're no stranger to adversity, but you're also no stranger to perseverance. This is a bit of a loaded question, but given your life thus far, is there any advice you could give someone, or that maybe you've given one of your sons, or that you would give to just someone listening to this, maybe a young person? I assume a lot of your students are going to listen to this or hear it. Is there any bit of advice, maybe life advice, that you would give?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I've always been in the health field, whether it's pre-med or physiology or PE or whatever. I think that there are important things about your health that you just have to take care of yourself. Your body needs fresh air. Your body needs exercise. Your body needs fresh water. Your body needs, you know, fresh organic food. And your body needs sleep. And if you can hit those five categories and then stay away from anything that would adversely affect those, then, hopefully, if anybody would focus on those things, they would have the same results that I would have. You know, Mike, and I just can't profess my health change enough. I just cannot believe it. My arthritis went, I had a broken hip. My arthritis went away. You know, I can run upstairs.
Wow.
I can run upstairs now. I can do high knees and sprint upstairs. I haven't pulled a muscle in the last year. My heart numbers, like my triglycerides went from 800 to 80. You know, I was pre-diabetic and now I'm in the 6 range. I don't know if 4, 5, 6 is a very normal range for diabetics. Actually, they're non-diabetic if you're in that situation. My cholesterol levels are a tenth of the level of what they used to be. And I've had doctors tell me that's impossible. You can't change your cholesterol numbers.
So it's safe to say that this plant-based diet that you've switched to has been probably one of your best decisions you've ever made. Is that
fair? Yeah, I'd probably say it saved my life. And I'd say my wife saved her life by finding, you know, Dr. Mikovits. But that's the testimony, I guess. That's the thing that I just want to... You feel like you just want to tell the world. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's just like, you know, everybody's at their own. I don't want to force it on anybody. Everybody's at their own pace. Everybody wants to, you know, it's an anecdote that I'm explaining what worked for me, and hopefully it'll work for somebody else. Hopefully it'll help somebody else, because what my wife taught me worked for me and her, and even our kids have said that, yeah, this, you know, I feel better when I eat this way as opposed to when I eat this way.
So, Joe, we're getting ready to wrap this thing up. Is there anything that you'd like to say before we get out of here?
There's 100 things I want to say. There really is. I mean, what I could say is just try things. Coming from a family where my mom tried 100 different diets and I've tried different things and this, that, this is the only, it's not even a diet. It's just a change. You change your eating habits. You change your lifestyle. I can eat as much as I want. That's the thing. That's what makes it, to me, it seems like it's not a diet, because I'm not starving myself. I'm not withholding anything. I'm actually eating more than I was before. I'm fuller than I was before, but it's just a byproduct of it is losing weight. And the byproduct of it is my cardiac numbers, my health numbers, my blood numbers are all just off the charts, like low normal instead of high deadly.
Well, it's safe to say that this seems like a good move. And if anyone's in the same positions that you were in back a year ago, you know, this might be a good thing to consider. Well, we're about ready then to wrap this thing up for real. And at this point of the show, I like to give my guests kind of an opportunity to say thanks to maybe someone who's helped them through a particular struggle or just through their whole journey. So I extend that question to you. Is there anyone that you'd like to say thanks to?
My wife. I mean, she's pulled me through so much stuff. I mean, if it hadn't been for her getting me to the hospital when I had my episodes, to the calling, you know, the lightning strike, to being there in the hospital for all the illnesses and things that I've been through, to showing me this lifestyle, to cooking the foods, to supporting me, to, you know, she's just amazing woman. And I'm glad, and my mom, she's been real supportive. I'm glad she's jumped in on this too. Jeez. I'm just so excited for her. My kids have been, my kids have been supportive, and they think it's cool that, you know, they see the results. They see me bouncing around now. They see me doing things that I was just so tired that couldn't do last year. And energy is a huge thing. So.
Well, they say behind every great man is a great woman.
Exactly.
A great woman in your case. And you've raised some really great kids that I've come to know and really appreciate. Heck of a life. You've got some great stories. You got it. Just thanks for coming on, Joe. It was a real pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. All right. That is a wrap, man.
And all great things must come to an end. If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share it on Facebook, Instagram, or any social media platform. Until next Sunday, God bless and have a great week.